Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 23 for November 10th, 2007. Milk Memos. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Kajit, the pay-as-you-go cell phone service that's right for kids and right for parents. Affordable and totally customizable. No long-term contracts. See Kajit, your local Target, or find out more at Kajit.com. K-A-J-E-E-T.com. It's time for Jumping Monkeys number 23, if my math is correct. It's always, I shouldn't do that. It's risky.
I don't know. Yeah, you should just say it in a different language or something, and then we'll, no one will know.
23. Yeah. Ici le, how do you say jumping monkeys in French?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I've mentioned before that I took French, but I don't remember.
You know, I have Leopard here. It should be able to. That, I mean, if it's such a smart dang computer.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I should be able to figure out. Let's see.
That's my first look at Leopard.
And not your last, I would assume.
Okay. I would assume.
Translate a block of text. Jumping monkeys. All right. And we're going to go from English to French. Translate. And here it is. And now, this is the beauty part. I will have it speak it.
Ooh.
If I could figure out how to do that.
What is that that you're... That's not Leopard. That's a website, right? Because I see a
that is,
ad.
Yes, that is not Leopard.
Because that'd be cool if Leopard just came with ads.
Yeah, built in. And then they only charge you $100. Yeah, never happen. Okay, ready? Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if this works. This is, you know, I don't even know if it speaks French.
Hmm.
It's going to be French with an English accent or something.
Hmm. I'm not getting Leopard if it doesn't.
Singes Sautens.
Yeah, see, that's Singe Sautens. It's Singe Sautens.
Yeah. So, Leo, do you watch Lost?
I just erased Lost. I only watched the first episode, and I never got into it, and I hear it's wonderful.
You mean just the first episode of the first season, or
yeah,
just...
the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch it anymore. It was good, like, the first season.
First couple of seasons.
Season.
And then but you know what I found out? One would think a show like that, they would have planned it all out ahead
mm-hmm,
of time.
They didn't.
They were making it up as they went along.
Yeah, I could tell that, actually.
It was like when I tell a story to my kids, and they go, and then the giant went to the forest and found a witch.
Yeah.
Because I'm just making it up. And you know what? I was not good at that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring this up yes. is that in the second season, I think, there's part of the plot is that they have to reset this computer every 24 hours, I think it is,
yeah.
Or else the world will end. So like every time they reset it, they just like sort of relax a little
bit
and then they have to. Yeah. So my life is actually now a lot like that because my boys are wearing underpants.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, if you've been following along for the last 22 episodes, you know mm-hmm. that Megan was potty training.
Yes. Yeah. But they're wearing underpants, but
Not
you know,
pull-ups even?
No. They wanted to wear underpants.
They skipped right away to
yeah.
the big boy pants?
They, you know, pull-ups, I don't know. They're just more expensive diapers. They don't, they, and I don't like pull-ups also because they absorb the, I don't know. They just,
yeah,
you know, the underwear really makes
the
them.
Details.
Yeah, we don't have to get into the details.
Bad
but,
enough we're going to talk about lactate.
I know. All, this is the Jumpy Monkeys All Bodily Functions episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's like they pee and then I get like, I relax just like they did on Lost. And then I have to just, I have like
know,
a certain amount of time where I have to like then ask them, do you have to pee now? Do you have to go now? Do you have to go now? Do you have to go now? It's very exciting to potty train
it's,
twins.
And you don't want, you know, of course you can't humiliate them in any way. So your
you
natural
can't?
Reaction, your natural reaction when they start peeing
mm-hmm.
is you, oh, no, but you can't. You're supposed
yeah.
to be very calm because you don't want to attach
right.
energy
you can't
to
like
it.
Tell them they're naughty for like, it's just an accident. You have
I
an accident.
Remember Abby was in preschool at Little Wing, which is a great mm-hmm. little preschool here. And
she's not still there, by the way. So
no, this was, in fact, this is going to embarrass her because this was like 11 years ago, but she was just 3 or 4. I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood there and she started peeing just on the carpet. And it was very embarrassing for me, but I had to kind of
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Little accident. No problem. It's okay. Good girl. She did that once in a Fresh Choice.
Oh.
She just whipped off her pants and squatted down and started peeing on the carpet.
So, yes, as you mentioned, we're also talking about nursing later on in the episode. We're going to be talking to Kate
Guys,
Coburn-Smith.
Maybe you should tune this one out and get your wives to listen.
No. Leo, have you learned nothing
nothing.
This is a partnership.
I have learned nothing.
Partnership. And also, the reason why guys should not turn this off is because they're talking about how to mix being a mom and business with
True.
Babies. They wrote a book, Milk Memos, How Real Moms Learned. But so if you, so, you know,
as far as I know, most men don't have this problem of breastfeeding at work.
No, but their coworkers might.
Oh, true.
So it might help you be, you know, more empathetic with.
Very good point.
Yeah. So.
Because when you were doing it, I just couldn't take it. No, I don't even remember.
I don't know. Because you,
Did you pump?
I did, yeah. Yeah. The
so
whole time I was there.
So you came back after Annabella was born.
I came back after 4 months, and I stayed for 2 months.
You didn't stay very long.
It was such a wonderful situation.
Yeah.
That's about how long.
Well.
It didn't work very well.
You never craved the limelight, as some do.
No. No, I never really wanted to be on TV. That wasn't a goal, but it just sort of dragged me on there.
Because you're really good on TV. This is the irony. And in fact, I think one of the reasons you are so good is because you're just normal. You don't. You weren't like one of those ingratiating people who was so anxious to be on TV that, you know, like me.
Yeah.
So you were just really real and people loved that.
Well, yeah. Anyway. And it wasn't just the company or anything. It was also the commute. It was a long commute to do with a baby. And so,
yeah, you don't want to be an hour away from your baby.
No.
In an emergency, it's going to take you an hour at best to get back.
I know. In your car. You were
driving. That's right. I was driving.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking to Kate and Andrea, author of the Milk Memos.
Can't wait.
We're going to have our regular spend, save, give segment, some extra links, and we're going to hear from you. We also have something special today.
A contest.
Yeah.
Yay!
A contest. This is thanks to JR, who created software called the Peanut Butter PC. It's a child-friendly desktop replacement.
It's a whole computer?
It's software.
Software.
Yeah, it's
software.
Oh, I see.
You mean the screen is desktop.
Right. So you install it, and it's just, it's a great product. I've used it and for little kids. And,
how, what ages?
I guess it just really depends on when you want to introduce your kids
four
to the.
Four to six, four to
yeah,
seven.
Yeah, or even younger than that.
Three,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, three is, if your kid is using, you know, the internet at age three.
That he's doing that, because there were a couple from big companies, like Edmark had a program I loved called Kid Desk. But they kind of stopped doing it. In fact, I don't even know if Edmark's around anymore. That whole category of kids software kind of dried up, which is too bad.
Yeah.
There used to be all these CDs and, of course, the whole CD-ROM thing.
Yeah, that CD-ROM. Yeah, but there's lots of kids' websites out there.
It all went to the web, I guess.
Right, I think so.
But that's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Because you worry about your kid on the web.
Right, exactly. So this is an interesting product, and
this
he's going to give away.
This would protect your kid on the web.
Yeah,
right?
So you can win a copy of the Peanut Butter PC.
Oh, wow. Tell me how.
All you have to do is we have a little mashup that JR also created of Disney movies. It's a little audio clip that we're going to play in just a few minutes. And we'll play it. Should we play it once, and then you'll have to rewind
it? Well, it is a podcast.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I'll play it now. And
we
play it
at the end of the show. Yeah, yeah.
So what do you have to do with this?
So you have to guess what the movies are. There are five.
This is great. 30 seconds of movies in five movies in 30 seconds.
Right.
And what are we going to do? You're going to
email
Megan the list in order of all five.
Right. Megan@twit.tv.
And how many copies do we have to give away?
We have one to give away on this episode.
So the first one to get it right.
Yes.
We have. Okay.
So but we have more. We can give away more.
Okay.
Yes.
The first one to get this right will win a copy. And it's just for fun. Of Peanut Butter PC. You ready?
Yes.
Listen. I haven't heard this yet. So let's listen together.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls. I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible. I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
I know the first one and the last one. I don't know anything in the middle.
Yeah, it was hard.
That's really hard.
Yeah. We'll play it again at the end of the show.
We will, and of course people can rewind it. But
yeah.
Wow. The first one, the last one, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the middle ones are, since my kids grew out of Disney movies.
I only knew the first one, actually. I had to ask him. So we'll see. If it's too hard, we'll, you know.
That's
we'll do
not
something.
Too hard. We have smart listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no. You're going to get, I predict, look, we've done some contests on the Daily Gizwiz. You'll get hundreds of entries.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds.
So, yeah, email Megan at twit.tv. And
now, you can enter up to, let's say, 5 times.
Okay. 5 times.
Yeah, we don't want to see 100 entries from the same person.
Yeah.
Because somebody will write a random number generator for Disney movies.
And, right.
No, 5 good guesses.
Yes. And put peanut butter PC in the subject line so that I can filter them out.
PC.
Peanut butter PC in the subject line. So, yeah, so that's our contest giveaway of the week.
Fun. Thank you, JR. This is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Now we've got spend, save, give. You ready for this?
I am ready there, Ms. Maroney.
Okay. Now, the first spend came from a listener named Edward. And right now it's only available in South Africa. So, but I thought it was worth discussing because I thought this was just a great place. This is called Triba Wellness in Motherhood. And what is it is, it's like a gym. But it's much better than a gym.
TRIBA.co, as they say, .za, which is South Africa. Triba, TRIBA.co.za or ZA.
And what Edward says, it's a facility targeted at catering the needs of all mothers, regardless of their children's age. It's a workout facility, office space with wireless access.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Printers, copiers, spa services, sleeping room. A sleeping room. Go take a nap while your kids are being watched for.
Brilliant.
And they offer caregivers that cater to all ages. I thought this was fascinating.
There's a concierge.
Yeah. Because, there's lots of gym daycare. You hear about that.
Hair salon.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
But especially if you just need to check email for an hour or something, you don't want to just get a babysitter and you want your kids to maybe play with other kids. I thought this was fascinating. I've never heard of this in the U.S.
There's a library. Look, she's sleeping in the sleep room. It's elegantly, there are 2 beautiful and elegantly appointed sleep rooms. I bet there's a line for that.
Yeah.
I want to sleep.
And I thought, it was interesting. You wonder, why isn't there childcare at Kinko's or something so someone could just go and
do
some work?
They do yoga, swimming, taekwondo, they have classes for kids too.
Mm-hmm.
How much is this? I want to join. I'll move.
I don't know how much it is.
I'll move to South Africa. It's 280 rands a month. I don't know how much that is.
280 rands, of course.
That's for the ordinary membership.
But I just think someone in the U.S. should do this.
I don't think, I'll have to look up how many rands in a dollar, but that sounds pretty good. $350. This is basically like a regular club.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit between a country club and and just a gym.
Right. But I thought it was interesting because I just think, it seems to me that we've talked in the past about how different policies are in different places besides the U.S. for mothers and families, and they're a little better in other places. And I just think it's interesting because so many moms especially, or stay-at-home dads, are just doing this sort of on their own. There's not that community feel. They're just by themselves kind of figuring it out. And I thought it's interesting that there would be a place like this that really caters to the needs.
I think they'll do. Oh, wait a minute. This is cheap. I think they're going to do very well. 280 rands is $43.
A month?
A month.
That's great.
That's the basic membership.
Yeah.
You get a more fancy one. But that's very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do so well.
Yeah.
I think they should go international.
Yeah, I think so too. So it's Triba.
Triba.
Triba.co.za.
I mocked you when you said, this is only available in South Africa, but I'm...
But I thought it was worth discussing.
Because we want this.
Someone should start this.
Yeah. Great idea. That's spend.
Spend. Now we go to save.
First time we've ever done spend in rands.
Yeah.
It's a first.
This is freshbargains.net. Mm. And thanks go to Andrea for recommending
this. It looks like Google.
Yeah, it's very Google-esque. And you can just search for a bargain. So I used it to find a hotel in San Francisco.
I'm
going to be spending the night in San Francisco with a friend of mine. Just a friend of mine's coming into town without our kids. So, I had so much fun with my sister.
Didn't you just do this?
I know. This is December, though.
I think it's what Marco said. Marco probably said, didn't you just do this?
Yeah, exactly. Once every 2 months. That's what I get.
That seems fair. That seems very fair.
But yeah, are you looking to buy? Why don't you look Leopard?
Is it anything?
Try Leopard. See if you probably, that's not a good one because you can't really get discounted software.
Well, let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can even get, they got Leopard. Well, look at that. CompUSA is having a 2-day sale on Leopard.
Yeah, so it's a good way to just find bargains. Ooh, you need a necktie?
It's anything. Keith Daniels, anything. Thanksgiving turkey necktie for $15. Now, see, this would be great. It's, you know, you need a necktie that you only wear one day a year,
mm-hmm.
and this would be it. It's got, oh, look, they have all kinds. Here's one with a colorful turkey. This is by Save the Children, so you could, it helps a little benefit. This is a Thanksgiving turkey. I have to get a turkey tie. I told you we're having like 433 people
for
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you were asking me if we could please record the podcast sometime when you were having all the people over there so you could get out of the house.
She said, we won't record after day after Thanksgiving. I said, oh, yes, we will. Wait a minute. Here's a TV dinner.
On the tie?
It says Happy Thanksgiving, and then it's got, doesn't that look like a TV dinner?
Yeah, it does. That's cute, though.
I guess.
You don't have TV dinners for Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving? Here's a Casper trick-or-treat tie. A little late for that. Maybe they'd have a deal on that.
Right.
Hey, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's you know what I like? There's lots of sites where you can search for bargains, but I like this one because it's so, you know, it's just the search box like Google.
Right.
No ads or anything.
Right.
I like that. And so thanks, Andrea.
Wow. I wonder how I guess they probably get a commission or something. So that's fresh bargains.
Probably,
bargain
yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just someone doing it out of the goodness of their own heart.
Couldn't be easier.
I don't know. Or maybe if every time you search something, they, you know, I don't know, take your personal information and sell it.
No. I'm sure they don't.
No.
That would be wrong.
Well, you don't have to enter any personal information except for what you're searching
for.
Searching. But I don't think that they record that.
You know, you could make a lot of money doing something like that just by commissions. You know, if I did an Amazon.com search on our website and just took the Amazon commissions.
Right, yeah.
That could be big bucks.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's true. Okay, now we get to the give. This is a site called BiddyBraille.com, BrailleE. And they are t-shirts that spell your kid's name in Braille.
Oh, that's neat.
And 10% of all the proceeds go to the American Foundation for the Blind.
That's really cool. And so it has little bumps on it.
Yeah, they're really cute. I thought they were really cute t-shirts.
They are. They're fun. And you're not advertising anything, which I like. See, here's Henry. That's my son's name. And that's Henry in Braille. So they have his name written and then above it.
Right. So you could
teach
your kids Braille and also give back to...
So they'll do a personalized one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at that little baby.
You love pictures of babies, Leah.
Who doesn't?
I don't know.
Was it you who told me about the babies eating lemons?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's the funniest
that
thing
cute,
on YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I found this site on Tutus and Turtles, which is just a little mommy blog that I like. Tutus and Turtles.
BittyBraille.com. And Braille is a little weird. BrailleE.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So all these links, of course, will be at JumpyMonkeys.com. And sometimes... at twit.tv too.
Sometimes it depends on how energetic I'm feeling when I'm doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Usually
yeah.
I put it in, don't I?
Yeah.
I do like the basic ones, but if you want more details, go to Megan's.
Right. If you want to blame someone for not putting a link in there, that's me.
She is so organized. I don't know if people, well, of course they don't know this, but you are the most organized of all the show hosts at Twit. I get an email from Megan with all the links and details and what we're going to do and the letters we're going to...
I show up.
She shows up exactly on time. And you show up here. I mean, this is amazing. You are so head and shoulders above John C. Dvorak.
Right.
Who frequently just shows up and says, what? Huh?
I don't plug my website, except
yeah,
for sometimes.
Yeah, you do. You just did.
Yeah.
But we don't mind. We don't mind.
Yeah, really. I don't plug it in such a deep voice as John does. It makes all the difference. All right, so later in the show, we're going to talk to Kate Kilborn-Smith and Andrea Surrett, authors of The Milk
Do it later, Memories. Or you want to do it now?
Well, I don't know. We have some more links.
Okay,
what do you
let's
think?
Do more links.
Okay.
I like links.
Okay, he's bouncing up and
links
down.
Links are fun.
For those of you not, you know... looking at the spy camera. But anyway, they are the authors of The Milk Memos.
They're coming up.
Yes. I want people to stay tuned for them. So I'm going to, you know, we're going to do some more links.
Do you have to pump?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm never going to breastfeed another child again.
Isn't that nice?
It is kind of sad, actually.
Well, okay. Is it?
It kind of. Yeah, I loved nursing. It was a
did
wonderful
you?
Experience. Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I didn't like pumping, but I did that a lot.
I of course didn't nurse, but it is a kind of a mixed... thing. I miss. Yeah, well, you could. I look forward to grandkids, but you won't breastfeed your grandkids, obviously. But you'll have
probably
you get to play
not,
with
no.
kids again.
Yes.
Yeah. But I kind of think. I think about that.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm glad never to be pregnant again. I'm
no
glad
more
no more morning
potty
sickness.
Feeding, no more morning sickness.
Yeah, I'll.
Did I say
forward.
Potty feeding?
I don't know.
I meant potty training.
Yeah, well, we still got that, but I'll be. I will not mourn the loss of the diapers, but I will.
That
I
was
did
a
mourn the loss.
Red letter day.
Yeah,
when we did the last diaper, because there was overlap between Abby and the Henry. She got out of him, and then Henry was in, and he got out of him. That was like a. I did say that. I said I will never change another diaper.
You changed my kids' diapers.
Oh, dang. Well, never like on a regular basis. You know, now it's fun. Just
yeah.
Just to see if you got the chops.
You know what I want?
How fast you can do it.
You know what we should do now before
poops
we do the other
links? Flying through the air. What?
The Audible book pick.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
First, let me say this. Let me say this about
okay,
that.
Okay, you can say this about that.
I love Audible.com. If you are looking for more stuff to put on your portable player or your computer, if you listen to this show and other podcasts, please consider audiobooks. Audiobooks have been a lifesaver for me. I know Megan and I, when we would commute, I'd sometimes make you listen to my current book.
Yes.
And I've done so much reading, even now where I don't commute anymore. Although if you have a commute, this is a lifesaver. AUDIBLE.com. Pretty much everything you can get. You no longer have to go to the library or the bookstore. You don't have to get tapes mailed to you. You just go to audible.com, pick from 45,000 plus titles. Pick the title you want. You get it immediately. You download it. They play on hundreds of different devices, including all the iPods and iPhone and everything. But also the Sans is almost every MP3 player. And even your computer, you can even burn it to CD and listen to it that way. So you've got a very flexible situation. And book titles galore. I mean, fiction, nonfiction, kids' books, everything you could think of. Even a lot of pro bono stuff. You know, when the debates were on, they put the debates up there so you can listen to them after the fact. I find it a very efficient way to get a lot of reading done. AUDIBLE.com/monkeys. And every week, we are going to give you a new book, as we have been for some time now. We've really got a pretty good collection here.
Mm-hmm,
is this a kid's book?
This is not. This is a novel. I just finished reading it, and it's one of the best books I've read this year. Certainly the best humorous book I've read.
Oh, it's funny.
Oh, yes. It's
Yertle the Turtle, of course.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
No, then we came to an end.
Then we came to the end.
Then we came to an end.
Then we came to the end is what the title is. I think they might have it wrong.
Do they
Audible.
Have it wrong, really?
I think so.
Wow.
I don't know. Is it wrong on the book cover there?
Let's look at the book cover. No, it does say to the end.
Yeah, it's then we came to the end.
They made a little boo-boo.
Yeah.
Because, it doesn't, an end isn't as good.
No, that's not the title. Especially good because that's not what the author decided to
Joshua
call it.
Joshua Ferris, the author.
And this is, it's a novel. It just got shortlisted for the National Book Award. And it's a story of an advertising agency sort of at the end of the .com era, like 2000, 2001. And it really, you will love it because it just brings back so many memories of what it was like to be working in a cubicle at that point. And as I know, we both were. And it just made me think of so many of the crazy people that we worked with. Do you remember Russ Pitts?
Yeah.
Remember that crazy email he sent right before
when he left?
Yeah.
His final email.
Yeah.
That was a .com tradition. Blow it out email. Burn all your bridges email.
Yeah. There's a really good one in this book. Also, do you remember when that other, I don't even remember his name, but do you remember when that guy left and he posted that page up on the website, like publicly on techtv.com? And it was kind of about how the network wasn't going to last.
Oh,
and
boy, he was
do you
right.
remember? He was a web producer. And
yeah.
He, yeah.
I bought him a drink.
Because he said this really nice. He said, you were the only good thing about the network. He said, you were the only thing that was going to last.
I bought him a drink afterwards and said,
yeah,
right on, dude.
Yeah.
Right on. He was right in most respects, I have to say.
But this.
Except for me lasting. He was.
You're still going.
I'm still going.
Not there. But would you want to be?
No one's there.
No. No, yeah, because you'd just be in an empty.
I'd be all alone in the lactation room. No blinds or anything. But we'll get to that in a minute.
That there was no lactation room.
We'll get to that in a moment.
But no, my favorite, this is written in like the we point of view, which is really, I mean, you would think that he wouldn't be able to stand, withstand that through the whole book.
Not
but
the
it is
first
really,
person singular, but
no,
first
the
person
we.
Plural.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it is, you would love it. And, you want to listen to a sample of it? Or?
We could.
Okay.
I have the technology.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
It's written by a woman, which surprised me. I mean, read by a woman.
When the meeting was over, we said thank you to the meeting makers for having made the meeting. Very rarely did we say anything negative or derogatory about meetings. We all knew there was a good deal of pointlessness to nearly all the meetings, and in fact, one meeting out of every three or four was nearly perfectly without gain or purpose.
Yeah.
But many meetings revealed the one thing that was necessary, and so we attended them, and afterward we thanked each other. Karen Wu always had something new to tell us, and we hated her guts for it.
I can't wait to listen to this. Joshua
really
Ferris, the
good.
Author.
Yeah, yeah. I said it was read by woman. I said written by woman, but not really.
Read by Deanna Hurst, and it is, Then We Came to the End.
Then We Came to the End.
And I'll send a note book. To Audible. Maybe by the time you see this, it'll be fixed.
Yeah.
You could listen to this for free, actually, because the way it works, you go to audible.com/monkeys and sign up, and you'll get a credit for a free book. And that book could be this book. And if you don't stick around, you don't owe them anything. But I think you're going to want to stick around, I tell you. You know what they just started, which I like, is the 100 Essential Books that Everyone Should Listen to. And you get an extra 20% off of those.
Really?
And I've listened to like more than half.
Wow.
Yeah. Great books. Great stuff. audible.com/monkeys. We thank them for their support. This could be the tech TV story. Then We Came to the End.
It really could be. It could be. My dad read it and loved it. And, you know, he did not work, but he worked in an advertising agency. But in the 70s.
He's got to watch Mad Men.
He loves Mad Men.
Isn't that the greatest show? Now, this one is the 2000s, kind of the end of the dot-com era.
Right.
Mad Men is 1960, the end of the 50s. And it's really all about the transition from the uptight, staid 50s to the whacked out 60s.
Right.
Boy, is it great.
Well, yeah, this is interesting because he said that Mad Men really takes place right before his time in the advertising agency. And this takes place after his time. But interesting.
Well, maybe he could write the, you know, quintessential novel of his time.
Yeah.
And what it was like for him.
Right, exactly. Okay, so next we can talk to Kate and Andrea.
Yay!
They are the authors of a book called The Milk Memos, and they have a really interesting story about what happened to them. They were managers at IBM, and they, we should let them probably tell the story. What do you think?
I agree.
Andrea and Kate, thanks for coming on, and welcome to Jumpy Monkeys.
Great to be here.
Which is which? You both sound the same.
This is Kate, and this is Andrea.
Okay, Andrea, maybe you have a little bit of a cold?
This is Kate. I have a cold. I can talk like this.
They both sound the same.
Kate with a cold, and Andrea with no cold. Yes.
Okay.
I think they both sound the same. So that's okay.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys had the idea for the Milk Memos?
Okay, so this is Kate. I'll take the first part since it actually started with me. I worked at IBM for 18 years, and about 5 years ago, when I returned from my first maternity leave, my daughter Charlotte was just 4 months old, and I'd never even been away from her more than a few hours, and here I was going back to work full-time and, you know, carrying this heavy breast pump and determined to try to provide her breast milk, but overwhelmed and tired and, you know, freaked out. And so I went that first day back at work to this little lactation room that IBM provided on this big, like, picture, maybe 20 buildings, a really spread out campus with one converted janitor's closet for a lactation room. And so there I am staring at cinder block walls, pumping breast milk and thinking, I feel so alone. I'm overwhelmed. And so I wrote a note on a paper towel saying, is anyone else using this room? And then they wrote back on the paper towel.
Did you tape it on the wall? What did you do with the paper towel?
It was just sitting on this old brown table. Yeah.
I
brought in the notebook and we started writing notes back and forth, and Andrea joined the room a few months later. So I can let Andrea pick up.
Yeah, I joined the room a few months after Kate, and like Kate was exhausted and maybe unlike Kate, not sure whether I could continue this working and breastfeeding thing. I really wasn't sure how that was all going to work. And I got into that same lactation room and I saw that women had been writing back and forth in these notebooks.
This is like Lake House.
Yeah, it was reassuring.
Cool.
I could see that, wow, here are some other real moms doing this and making it work and sharing their ups and downs. And I had that thought somewhere down the road, as did Kate, if this was so helpful to us, maybe it would be helpful to other moms. And that's how the idea was born.
So this was a big enough company that you didn't know each other. You hadn't run into each other. It was just...
We knew each other. Actually, we worked for the same division, but we were not more than casual acquaintances.
Wow, isn't that great?
Yeah. But some of the women we really only met on paper. And it is amazing the personal things that we shared in those books, just because we were in that experience at the same time and needing practical help and emotional support and laughter and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So did you ever try to start up an email group, or was this mostly just paper?
Amazingly, it was all on these notebooks. Nobody really brought their laptops into the room.
Even though it's IBM.
Yeah, you know, I think in a way it was this little reprieve for us, you know, to get away and just for those 15 minutes, two or three times a day, to really just be a mom in the midst of that high-paced culture of corporate America. You know, it was kind of a nice, just a chance to just reconnect and remember what we're doing for our babies.
So about how many of there were you that were writing these notes back and forth?
There were about a dozen, and it's funny, we never ended up really pumping at the same time, maybe occasionally, but we would just write notes back and forth. And so the book itself is primarily consists of these actual journal entries that we crafted a little bit into a story, and then those journal entries are interspersed with some information about how you can make it all work with breastfeeding and working and other related topics like childcare and, you know, getting sleep and stuff like that.
The subtitle is How Real Moms Learn to Mix Business with Babies, and how you can too.
So have you both left IBM now?
This is Andrea, and I still work for IBM. I actually, shortly after the book was published, our division was sold, and so I technically work for a joint venture now, but it's still part owned by IBM. And this is Kate. I actually, after the book was published in March, in June, I left IBM and I'm now kind of setting sail on my own.
Freelancing.
The book was kind of a turning point for me, personally.
That's neat. And how old are your kids now?
3 and 5.
All right. So it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a long time to get a dream off the ground sometimes.
And Andrea, how old are your kids?
My kids are 15, 12, and 5.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. I don't know what we'd do if there were a 5-year-old. Of course, we have kittens and dogs. That's kind of the same.
You're also kind of like a 5-year-old sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I'm the 5-year-old.
I always say it kind of reminds me that how sweet they used to be, the
yeah.
older ones.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just look at pictures and I shed a tear. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Where'd they go?
Really fast.
Where are those people?
So when you say it was a converted janitor's closet, what did they do to convert it? Was it a comfortable room?
They put a sign on the door that said lactation room, and they took the mops out, right?
That's exactly right.
That's all they need to do.
No, it didn't have mops in it, and it was pretty clean, but it was literally beige painted cinder block walls, and it was a kind of a small room, I don't know, maybe 8 by 6 or something.
Oh, it's tiny.
And it was adjacent to the women's restroom, so it was, you know, closed off with a door, but then you could go in the restroom and wash your stuff. And there was a little sign, but it was kind of a word-of-mouth thing that people even knew it was available.
Because I know when I first heard your story, Kate, I emailed you and told you some of my own horror stories of how difficult it was to convince the company that I worked for to give me a space. And I think they really didn't understand what I was doing. The first room I was given had no blinds. It was just open windows. So what would you recommend to people who are going back to work that aren't sure what the situation will be for pumping and what they can do to ask the people they work for to make it an easier situation for them?
One thing, this is Andrea, and one thing we definitely say to do is, but when you know you're going to go on maternity leave, before you go, check out what is available. And, you know, in our case, some women may not have even known it was there. So to ask around, see what's available. And if you're finding that there's really nothing more than, say, you're going to be relegated to pumping on a bathroom stall, ask for what you want. Go ahead and say, I would like, when I come back, to have this conference room turned into a place where I can go, or I'm going to need some blinds on my door, or whatever it is. We've been really encouraged since writing this book by several women who have written to us and have said, wow, your book gave me the idea to just even ask. And lo and behold, it's been provided to me. I mean, there's been nobody that we've heard from that has asked and has been turned down. So it's kind of just incumbent upon moms sometimes when companies aren't providing it is to just say, I need it.
And this is Kate, if I could chime in also. It's best if you can do it before you go on maternity leave. And I think it starts with first building your own confidence and commitment so that you can go in from a position of, this is really what I need, and then go in prepared to say maybe a few things about why breastfeeding is so important, maybe some of the facts. There are statistics about how much it can reduce the risk of certain diseases and all that. So you can say a bit about that and then talk about the benefits that providing a lactation program can bring to the employer in terms of reduced absenteeism, lower healthcare costs, higher productivity, improved job retention, and all of those things. And so talk about how it can benefit them as well, and then have a proposal of where you think you might be able to go, even if it's like the server room where the computers are or something. You know, that you can do. And as Andrea said, we haven't heard of a mom that's been turned down. We've heard of many awkward conversations that have transpired, but moms usually have gotten what they needed, the moms we've spoken to.
Mm-hmm. So what about how to establish a pumping routine during the day? Do you have any tips for how to explain to co-workers, like, I can't go to that meeting because that's the time that I pump?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest parts, I think, is that there's always a meeting that's going to run late or a last-minute emergency or something like that, you know. So you go in with the best intentions, I think, to really establish those times and put them on your calendar as if they were a meeting, and to just be upfront and say, this is for, 12 months or whatever it is you've decided, this is what I need to do two times a day, and to not really be ashamed about it. It's really your right to provide your baby the best food on earth and to not feel bad about doing so.
That's good advice. If a company uses Outlook or something, you could just, put in meetings in there. And then if you happen to work with people who use that, then they'll just see you're busy and probably not even ask.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, we recognize, too, that there are women in professions that don't lend themselves to that. I mean, mm-hmm. a teacher needs to be in front of her classroom, or a nurse needs to be with her patients, or the person at the grocery store needs to be, checking people out. And it can be trickier in some professions. And so then I haven't done those professions, so I don't know, but I would guess you'd need to arrange a backup and come to your employer with a plan, not only for where you might go, but also how your work might be handled when you step away.
That's
trickier.
Yeah.
I think, do you find that men don't get this as quickly as women, or is it the same? Or if you had a female manager, is it easier?
I don't know. This is Kate, but I have found it to be gender specific. I think it's more the individual and how open they are and how supportive they are of their employee and how,
Right.
I think it's more of an individual thing. What do you think, Andrea?
Yeah, I think the same. In my own personal experience, of course, we live in a very a community that's very supportive of breastfeeding, and so I also didn't find that whether I had a male manager or a female manager made a difference. But I know that based on some of the things we've heard from other women, it just can be a little more awkward maybe talking to a man about it. But once you get over that hurdle and just say it like it is, it's okay.
Yeah.
It probably matters a lot the age of the company. I know when we were at Tech TV, a lot of people that we worked with were really young.
They didn't know anything about kids.
Yeah.
It was like, kids, what are those?
Yeah.
We're kids.
Or maybe it was just the environment of working for TV that, you forget.
I'm sure TV's not very responsive.
Yeah. So what other kinds of tips are people going to find in the milk memos?
I love the name. I just love the name. And that it started on a paper towel. I just think it's so great.
Thank you.
I just love that.
We actually can't even take credit for the name. We took a writing course when we were trying to figure out how to get it published. And one of the men, we were just thinking the word milk. And then one of the men in the class said, how about the milk memos? And boy, that was it.
Yeah, it works. It really
works. Yeah. So,
but you don't just stick with lactation. You're covering all kinds of stuff.
No, we have, as Kate said, it's sort of a combination between journal entries and then this information tips and advice and then quick reference tables and lists such as 20 questions to ask your child providers or child care providers or, how to increase your milk supply or what to do if you have to go on a business trip or, what kind of child care options are out there. What kinds of things might you consider? Even how might you negotiate a flex time position at your work?
Right.
If you aren't into working full time, or you want to do a 40-hour work week in 4 days instead of five, you know, just we give some tips for how to handle those negotiations as well.
Was this the kind of stuff that was in the journals?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We had moms who, you know, one day would drive up and realize that their child care provider is moving, and they are stuck with two kids and need child care the next day. And not only would moms in the journals recommend other child care providers in the area, but they might say, hey, my husband is at home on Tuesdays. You can leave your kids with him. Or, you know, it was a real sense of just bonding and solidarity and support. It was great.
It's so neat. Do you miss having those memos, that diary, that journal?
This is Kate. I do. I mean, I really looked forward to that time where I could connect with other people as human beings. And, you know, in IBM, at least, it was so fast-paced and one meeting overlapping into the next and always talking about business. So I enjoyed that. And now, you know, we're fortunate to sort of keep the spirit of that alive through some forums that we moderate on our website, which is milkmemos.com. And so we get to interact with moms who are going through the very experience right now. And they mostly help each other, but sometimes we chime in.
The Milk Mamas community.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's at themilkmemos.com, and you can order your book from there.
Yep, it'll actually link you over to Amazon.
Excellent.
I have to ask you one thing. Are these babies on your website clip art, or are they somebody's actual babies?
They are somebody's actual babies, but yeah, they're clip art.
Oh, they're the best. That's the most adorable, especially the one with the cell phone.
I love that.
Really cute. Really great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. It was great to hear your stories. And so the website is is it Milk Memos or themilkmemos.com?
Plain old Milk Memos.
Milkmemos.com. And that's where you can find the blog and also the forum and other resources also.
Yep.
It's really great. Cool.
Even a cookie recipe that can help boost your milk production.
Ooh.
Well, could I have some too, even though I don't really want to boost my milk production? Okay. It's probably good for me in other ways, I'm
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Great to talk to you.
You too. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Kate Colburn-Smith and Andrea Surrett.
Thank you, Milk Mamas.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Is it uncomfortable to breast pump? I mean, to pump?
It hurts, especially in the beginning, yeah. And especially if you don't do it right, it hurts.
And you got to get the right kind. I remember we rented like this super medulla something.
Medulla.
Medulla is the back of your brain. The
oblongata.
Oblongata, yes. Because the first one we got was kind of underpowered. It has to be powerful.
Yeah. I meant to ask them if they recommended a certain breast pump, but I forgot. Oh, well.
Well, we could ask our listeners.
Yeah. If you recommend, send an email to megan@twit.tv or call us.
You could always call us because we have that, you know, number. It's not toll-free, but it'd be great if you
Yeah, and
right.
You can call us if you want to tell us about your experiences of working as a new mom, or, you know, even working with a new mom or working as a new dad, what that's like. We would love to hear you call us. It's 707.
I appreciate your stretching for me. Keep stretching, too, because I ain't there yet.
We haven't memorized our own phone number, and I really should write it down or, you know.
You know, it'd be easy just to write it down
and put it up somewhere.
Yeah.
But
707-981. I'm writing it down right now. 981-4602. The problem is I always write it down.
And then you.
I write it down in the back of an envelope.
Yeah.
Like that's going to stick around.
Well, I like to think that our stretching actually gave people time to go find a pen and pencil or find their phone or pull over to the side of the road to call us.
As long as you got that pen and pencil, you want to try one more time to hear this music?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
How many Disney movies?
Five
in 30 seconds. Listen closely.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls. I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it!
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible... I think I'm gonna have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
Sarah did a good job on that.
Yeah. Does it sound like there may be six? I thought there was five.
I wasn't counting.
There's five or six.
Ah, well, that makes it even harder. Yeah. So make a list in the right order of the right movies. That's all you need is the movie title.
Right. There's the movie title.
Send it to Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Megan at twit.tv.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person to get all five or six exactly right will win a copy of Peanut Butter.
PC. Yeah. And we will give you the answer next week on the show.
Oh, good. All right.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I think that. Because whatever you think, I think.
Okay. Excellent.
Excellent.
All right. Well, I have some more links.
Well,
we have time?
Let's start with home lead tests don't work. Because this is a bummer.
Yeah. So, you know, all for the past 6 months, we've been talking about all these recalls. There's always recalls, but there seem to be
a lot
more lead paint on kids' toys. And so I've heard a lot of talk in the blogosphere about getting home lead test kit and just testing your toys by yourself. Why risk it? But yeah, the CPSC just reported they did a study on home lead test kits, and they said they don't really work. They do a lot of false positives, and sometimes they just don't find lead when they're supposed to.
Of the 104 total test results, more than half didn't find lead when there was actually lead present.
Mm-hmm.
And then two got found lead when there wasn't any lead.
Yeah.
None of the kits consistently detected lead. I think it's hard to detect it because it's coated, it's got, you know, a pro is really necessary to detect lead, mm-hmm. I think. They use some sort of fluorescent chemical or something. They use something more advanced.
Yeah. So, I mean, all I can say is, you know, just keep your eye on the recalls and, you know.
X-ray fluorescence.
Or just don't let your kids play with any toys.
Or buy an X-ray machine. But that could be more dangerous, really.
The X-ray machine.
That's what they use.
Yeah.
Yeah. They fire X-rays at it. And if it fluoresces, then there's lead.
Yeah.
But see, you could also give yourself cancer doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our links in just a second. In fact, why beautiful women marry ugly men? And just, I know you want to hear that, but I want to welcome a brand new advertiser to the show. Da, 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 da. Khajiit. You've seen, I'm sure, the Khajiit banners on our website. And you heard us talk about it at the beginning of the show. This podcast brought to you by Khajiit, K-A-J-E-E-T. What a great idea. I wish they'd had this when Abby and Henry were little, but it's good for you, Megan. Huck and Milo and Annabelle are going to want this. It's an affordable, pay-as-you-go cell phone for kids. It's full-featured, easy to use, and because it's pay-as-you-go, you can manage your budget and your usage very easily. It's a cell phone service that's right for kids and parents, so that's what they say, and I think that makes perfect sense. Great reviews, by the way, from Time Magazine, from CNET. You might have seen them written about on the mommy blogs and a lot more. The pay-as-you-go rates are very low. There is no long-term contract. Sometimes people mock the idea of a cell phone for kids. I don't. The idea of being able to reach your kids wherever they are. No more mysteries about where are the kids. And as they get older, that's so important. And they don't get stranded at dance classes or violin lessons anymore. They just can call. I mean, this is a must-have. Look for Khajiit in your local Target store. Or you can find out more on their website, Khajiit.com. It's K-A-J-E-E-T.com. Khajiit. We welcome them to Jumping Monkeys. And we encourage you to check it out. K-A-J-E-E-T.com.
All right. Now, here's another link I found on Boing Boing. This was an interesting interview with Satoshi Kanazawa. He is one of the authors of a new book called Why Beautiful People Have More Daughters.
Really?
Have you heard
of
this
book? Is that true? Do beautiful people really have more daughters?
Apparently. This is a...
like a lot more daughters?
Yeah. This is a book about evolutionary biology. And what they say is that women tend to have, beautiful women will tend to have daughters first, and they
you had
will.
A daughter first, and
yes,
you had a
and I did
first.
Too. Why do
so
you think
you
I wanted to talk about this? But okay. That beautiful, the strongest traits will be the traits that the gender needs most. So right. A woman needs to be beautiful to be successful, apparently.
Well, and there's no abstract beauty. It's whatever we think is beautiful.
Right,
so
exactly.
If that woman has whatever that trait is that we consider beautiful, maybe it's wide hips or mm-hmm. something, It would make sense. She'd have a girl first because then she'd have, that'd be a good reproductive strategy because she could reproduce more.
Right. Exactly.
Faster.
Yeah. So, or that, you know, that's why they're more beautiful women. This is the, explains why. Yeah. Why the, yeah, there are a lot of beautiful women married to unattractive men.
If this were true, then where would, there would only be beautiful women?
No, because there's got to be some second children and third children,
that's right?
I was the second child.
Oh, Megan.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's saying
my
that
sister is
women,
taller and more thinner and more beautiful than me, actually.
I don't think she's more beautiful. So he's saying that the first daughter is more beautiful than the second daughter? No. He's saying that beautiful women have first daughters.
Have daughters first.
First.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to read the book. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I think evolutionary biology is really interesting. You know, and that men, if their traits are stronger, they're, you know, they're going to have a boy that's strong or, you know,
yeah,
powerful or something.
But I think it's also possible to come up with false premises.
Oh, yeah,
easily,
of course.
Too. So, but that's very interesting.
But this is interesting. Yeah, it's sort of the same kind of like science is freakonomics. Interesting science, I call it.
The other thing is that our standard of beauty change, it has been changing
right.
over
yeah,
time.
It's true.
So it's maybe not completely genetically influenced. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, for a while, we thought really skinny women were genetically beautiful, but that's not necessarily a good evolutionary trait.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. I find that stuff fascinating.
I do, too. Yeah. That's why I wanted to recommend this, Why Beautiful People Have More Daughters. So I'll put the link to the book and to the interview.
Well, you're recommending it because you had a daughter. That's why you're recommending it.
No.
But our
I
daughters are both beautiful.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. And you and Jennifer are both beautiful, so it all
that's
makes
true.
Sense. And what did you say? Beautiful women marry ugly guys?
Yeah, because they're more beautiful women, because there's so many beautiful women.
There's more beautiful women than there are good-looking guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
You could just say that that beautiful women marry ugly guys because some ugly guys have a lot of money. I don't know.
But in your experience, do you find that there is a dearth of good looking guys?
Beauty is, it's again, like it's really
skin deep.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I
it's
mean, women don't necessarily look for beauty in men.
Thank God,
I know.
Thank God. Men look for beauty in women, but it's a one-way
street.
Not
necessarily. I mean, and of course these are all gross generalizations.
And you're married to like the best looking guy in Petaluma. So here, I don't know what it means. I don't know.
Do you have a man crush on my husband,
Leah?
I
have a man crush.
Okay, let's go move on to my last link.
Oh, my secret is out.
I didn't want to put this in the spend section because I don't want to buy it. I mean, I'm not going to say that no one should buy it, but I found it fascinating. I found it on the pleasurebuzz.com, which is a blog, and this was about crazy baby products. This is the Giggle Kids Safe Giggle Buzz Toddler Tracker. And I have to quote from the website, says, and I'm quoting from the website here, the Giggle Bug is simple to use and works on the same, quote, locating principle as the cordless phone handset finder.
Oh, yeah, that's a locating principle. So it's a loud noise when you press a button.
Right. So basically, if you lose your child, then you can find them just like, it's kind of like, yeah. Like the thing that beeps when so you can find it again. I just find that so disturbing.
See,
I mean,
I have at home, and you're welcome to try it on your kids. It's called the Romeo GPS, Romeo GPS.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, technically it's for dogs, but a collar is a collar. And what you do is you put it around the neck of whatever species, you put it around the neck, and as the thing roams, whether it's a child or a dog, you have a GPS map of this.
Mm. Have you actually put it on your children to see?
You know what? The problem is our dog, Ozzy, never really goes out. And if he does, we know where he is because he's on a leash. So I asked Henry if he would wear it for me, and he said he will. Because that's the only way I could test it.
Or know where he is. But I just found this fascinating. Like, I mean, your toddler, like, I would hope you keep a little better track of them than you need, than you do the remote. The phone handset?
Yeah, I don't know. Haven't you ever found, like, sometimes you'll lose a kid under a cushion of the sofa or something, and that way you just press the button and there...
Surprisingly, I haven't.
I'm thinking of the remote. I'm sorry.
Once, Huck did put Milo in the dryer.
No.
Yeah. That did happen, but then he told me where he was.
Yeah, and he didn't close the door.
And also, he closed the door,
He did? He locked him in the dryer?
I shouldn't laugh, really. They were playing in the dryer. Okay, yeah, I'm kind of like criticizing the person who would use this, and then I'm going to tell this story. But I was reading a story to Annabella, and it was a really long story, and I could hear them kind of like crying a little bit, but you know, they weren't screaming. I know what their screams of pain sound like, and they weren't
It wasn't an emergency.
And then Huck came down the stairs, and he looked
at
me.
He had that look.
And this was a few months ago, so he didn't really talk as much as he does now, but he just said, I put, and I said, you put what? I put Milo. I said, you put Milo where? And he said, dryer. And I ran upstairs, and then I heard the muffled crying.
But you know what's great?
It was only a few.
He'd have been fine, because you would have immediately looked for him anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that what's really neat is that there is a time at that age where the kid, where the conscience comes
mm-hmm.
in.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, it's there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
You saw the birth of his conscience.
Yeah.
And he knew that he didn't really want to leave Milo in there.
And now I kind of understand why they don't have like the dryer buttons and down below. They're always up top.
Yeah, because he might have dried them.
Yeah.
You know, we have animals that will climb into the dryer or the washer. We found the cat in the washer.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't wash anything, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
The cat likes to get into the dishwasher, and mm-hmm. he's tiny.
Yeah.
So I always look inside things before I turn them on now. So maybe that's a good general
rule. So anyway, here's this toddler tracker.
Yeah, I think you need one. Shall I order it right now?
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. You'd hear a muffled.
Yeah.
And you'd have to track it around.
So now we...
I know we're going to get calls about this situation.
What about...
She's a very careful, thoughtful mother.
Yes.
She would never let a child stay in the dryer too long.
No.
Because it could shrink.
Speaking of child safety, though, there was something else that I was going to talk about. You know, remember we watched that Bumbo video?
Yeah.
With the little seats, and we were like, well, you know, I've actually heard that they're not great for, like, a child kind of shouldn't be sitting up like that, you know? But now they're recalling them because
they
a lot of babies have fallen out of it.
No, that's not good.
And really hurt themselves, so.
In fact, until recently, they used to have those things on wheels that you would sit in a seat, and then the kid could kind of walk, but he's not really walking.
Yeah.
And those are gone because kids would go shooting down the stairs.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess.
You gotta be careful.
With these, like, people, the kids have actually fallen off high places, like the mom had it on the counter or something. So,
no, not good.
I mean, I guess it's fine. If it's on the floor and you're sitting right there with them and they want to, like, see the world, then I think it's fine. But
it's better to make a kid do it on their own.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. In fact, we went through tummy time.
Mm-hmm.
You must have done tummy time.
Yes.
Because I'm sure the thinking changes all the time, but at the time the thinking was that a pre-crawling child needs to spend time on their stomach mm-hmm. so that they learn their head muscles get strong enough to lift their head up and look around, and that's how you get them to begin crawling.
Yeah.
And the kid doesn't like it. The kid doesn't. I don't want to be on my tummy. But we'd have tummy time and they'd torture the child.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did that?
Yeah, we did that. Yeah. I'm not that much, and they're fine.
Well, enough. But you have to do it a little bit. It's like going to the gym for a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all it is. I go to the gym. I torture myself.
Are you ready to hear from our listeners?
I am. You know, we don't have any voicemails today, which is very strange.
We have none?
None.
None?
That can't be right.
Hmm.
Did you not call us this week? Maybe I didn't give the number out enough.
Maybe not.
707-981-4602. We went through so many last time.
That's weird that we have none.
None.
Hmm. I do have a correction via mail.
Okay.
Email.
Okay.
I got this from several people. We have, you know what? Our listeners would be great at trivia if they would come with us. But
never make a mistake in trivia.
Marge Schott was actually the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, not the St. Louis Cardinals.
It was Red. But wait a minute. That wasn't you anyway. That was Cammy.
No, it wasn't me. It was Cammy, who dressed up as Marge Schott, and I think she might have said
I remember it was the Reds.
Yeah.
It was a red color.
Right, and Tom says, if only it were so, Ohioans could redirect the shame she brought to our state over to Missouri.
Yeah.
So
no, I remember that. I should have said that, too. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reds.
Cammy just sounds so good. You just want to believe everything she says.
I do.
Yeah.
And I have for years. She said, do you want to get in the dryer? I said, okay, no problem. I like it in there. It's probably warm and toasty.
I got an email from Gail. She wanted to recommend Trout Fishing in America, the band.
I like the book. I don't know the band.
Yeah, there's their kids band, Trout Fishing
in
America.
Because
that's
the old Brautigan
book. Yeah, they're
kids. I didn't read that. That was big when I was in high school.
But I do remember Trout Fishing in America. They've been around for a while.
The band.
Yeah.
Not the book.
I don't know anything about the book, but the band.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure Gail was talking about the band. But if you're talking about the book, then thanks.
Had you never heard of that book?
No. Never have.
Must have been a
I've
hippie.
Heard of trout fishing.
That must have been a hippie book.
Maybe.
It was Richard Brautigan, and it was huge. And you know, it's funny, when you do the Google search, the first three things are the band, and then the fourth thing. It just tells you, Brautigan is no longer remembered.
Mm.
It was a time and a place that is now long gone.
Mm.
Grow my hair out and just call me a hippie.
But now
look at it. Doesn't even look like a hippie, doesn't he?
No.
No?
All right. Richard Brautigan, people.
What kind of music?
Kids.
Kids music.
Yeah, like country-ish kind of kids music, I think.
Because now we have kid music genres. You can't
right,
just say
it's
kid
true.
Music.
It's true.
Not like all Raffy.
It's true, no. You always criticize Raffy.
I'm so sick of Baby Beluga. If I hear Baby Beluga one more time, I'm going to throttle somebody. I'm going to put you in the dryer.
So John wrote to us a previous episode. We asked for movie recommendations. He says we're not thrilled with most children's TV, though the stuff on Noggin is generally pretty good. So we try to hook our three-year-old son on DVDs that we're comfortable with. And he says he's bought into Donald Duck.
Good.
In a big way.
Like Donald
I
Duck.
I want to bring back Donald Duck.
Donald
and he
Duck's
says
great.
There's a series of Disney videos called Chronological Donald, the original short cartoons from the 1940s. They've been pretty sensitive about how the DVDs are laid out, putting the World War II stuff in a separate file so kids don't have to see wartime stuff if the parents don't want them
oh,
to.
Oh, interesting.
And the other two big suggestions are My Neighbor Totoro and Panda Go Panda.
Totoro's great. Not for kids particularly.
Is it animated? Is it anime?
Yeah.
Hmm. He says, by Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah.
He says his three-year-old, I guess, likes
all of Miyazaki's stuff is great, but the story is probably a little advanced for a three-year-old.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Well, perhaps John's three-year-old is
some of
advanced.
It could be, you know, thinking back to it, some of it could be too strong for a little, really little kid because, you know, there's it's dark, dramatic stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not happy-go-lucky always.
Right.
I liked Roadrunner, but that's probably too violent, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
I loved that.
I loved it, too.
I grew up on that.
Yeah. John also said something else interesting. He said he's been converting his YouTube links with Zamzar. Do you know what Zamzar?
Yeah, I do. There's a number of sites like Zamzar that allow you to give them a URL, and they will save it. And then he burns them to DVD.
No, he puts them on his wife's iPod.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways to... You know, there's a number of very good... podcast. In fact, let me see if I could find the URL for this one. Cartoon podcast that'd be great to subscribe to. There's a classic cartoon
podcast.
Yeah,
we talked about that,
did
I
we?
Think. Yeah, but
okay.
I forget what it's called. Is it just classic cartoons
something like
or something?
That. I wonder if I have it here. But
Sesame Street has a podcast now.
And so that'd be those would be really good sources.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, I just love this. It's a Japanese kids show. I can't remember how to pronounce it in English. But it's kind of like, I guess, a Sesame Street for Japan. But they had created a lot of station IDs that were Rube Goldberg, very elaborate Rube Goldberg machines. And my friend Sean Carruthers, who works in the lab, brought back a DVD from Japan. This would make a great... I'm hoping that they release this in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Because even a little kid, pre-talking kid, would like it because it's a lot of movement and shape. And you would actually learn a little bit about causality and the physical universe because if you see the ball, it's a ball rolling through different things. And it always at the end, it comes up with the name of the show, which I'm not going to butcher, but because I don't speak Japanese, but I'll tell you what, I'll find that for our next show.
Excellent.
Yeah. They're really great.
All right, so we have our contest.
Should I play it one more time?
Nah. Sure, no. You can rewind.
Well,
yeah, play it once more.
All right.
Well, we just say we're
going to
play it at the end
to.
Of the show, so
yeah,
this
let's,
is
one
the
more
end
time.
Of the show.
Remember, we're going to count movies right now, and we'll tell you.
Okay.
You need to name these in order correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls. I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible. I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
I do believe that was six.
Yeah, that was six. Sorry, I should have been on that. Six. And we're gonna we'll choose from the correct answers and don't enter more than five times.
Yeah, and don't let your kids put your kids in the dryer.
Yes,
we don't advocate that.
No,
that's
we don't.
Trained professionals.
And no, children were dried in the making of this podcast.
No, thank goodness our kids are still alive, so you can trust us when we make recommendations here.
Right,
our kids have yet to abandon us, and move to a foster home.
Mm-hmm.
But that could happen at any moment with my daughter.
Yeah.
She's ready. She's ready to say, Dad, no more. The other day, I was Jennifer was at a PTA meeting, and I was taking care of the kids. And I made a nice dinner, and we had a really great evening. At the end of it, they said, boy, we wish Mom would come back. Henry asked like 5 times, where's Mom? Where's Mom? I said, she's at a PTA. Where's Mom? 5 times. And finally, at the end, they said, you know, you're fine, Dad, but really, Mom's so much better at this than you. Okay, thank you very much. I'll do my best.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thank you for joining us. We really had fun. I hope you did, too, and we hope we'll see you next time on Jumping Monkeys.